This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Right now, he's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Who are we talking about? Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Scott? We're pumped. We're pumped for 55 minutes from now to see what happens.
And Happy Carson Wednesday.
That's what he keeps saying.
Yeah, it's exciting times here.
All right, Scott, let's look into our crystal ball. Will the Browns do something here in an hour from now? What do you think?
I'm going to go no.
I
think it'll probably take a little bit of time. I think they come out of, I don't know if it happens today. I definitely think the next couple of days they find at least one quarterback in free agency. Now the Kirk Cousins timeline in Atlanta could change that if that's the guy that they're really focused on. I don't think they're going to be huge players at the top. I don't think they're going to be players at the top of the free agency market at all. But they have too many holes just to wait for the draft. I expect them to sign players. I just don't think it'll be a bunch of huge names. Plus, that free agent market keeps getting depleted because a bunch of guys are re-signing with their teams.
Scott, let me ask you this. Yesterday's deal with Myles Garrett, how much do we have any idea how much that freed up for them as far as cap space trying to spend money in free agency this year?
You know what? I've not found that number yet.
Yeah, no one. We haven't found
assuming,
it
yet. Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming it's some. And they have other ways that they can create space if they need to. I think they have enough right now to operate and to sign who they need to sign right now, because whoever they sign will probably be a backloaded deal, so it's not going to eat up a bunch of cap space in 2025 anyway, depending on the type of deal, depending on the type of play. If they're only one-year deals, and you know, you can't do too much backloading. But I think it did free up space, and I think it energized the organization as far as free agency and heading into this period. And maybe will inspire Andrew Berry to make a bigger signing than he would have without the Myles Garrett extension and the Myles Garrett guarantee that he'd be back. We'll have to wait and see if that really has a domino effect.
Scott, did the Browns give him any kind of a different message, or did they just make payday a heck of a lot better?
Or was it
for
just
him?
Dead presidents?
Yeah. Is it like, here, have more Benjamins?
Yeah. My guess is, I don't think it's all about the money. I really don't. And I understand why people would point to that. And that was the big news yesterday, is that it's the extension and it's a record extension. But I think the Browns are always willing to give that to Myles Garrett. And I do believe him when he said it was not about the money. It was about winning a Super Bowl. And if they had traded him, he would have gotten a giant extension somewhere else. If they kept him, he would have gotten a giant extension here like he did yesterday. So I think what changed is Myles Garrett and his people realized the Browns weren't going to cave. They weren't going to buckle, and they weren't going to trade him.
Because they had no leverage.
Right. So if that's the reality, you hit the first milepost at free agency, and Myles asked to sit down with Jimmy Haslam. He's rebuffed. The organization has alignment. And he probably looks at free agency going, you know what, the opportunities for me to go elsewhere are going to start to dwindle. Then you get to the draft. If they don't trade me at the draft, then we're looking at, I have to make a decision, do I want to sit out games in September? So I think Miles started to look at it and said, they're not going to trade me. I'm not going to sit out games. I don't want this to be part of his legacy, is a protracted holdout and all those things. And I think by the Browns standing firm, it got Miles to reconsider. And then if you're going to reconsider and come back, okay, the next step is it's going to be a giant extension. So to me, that's how it played out. Now, maybe the Browns also told him a plan at quarterback that he buys into more. Maybe watch more film of Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. Said, hey, we can win with these guys. But I think the biggest piece was a realization that they weren't going to trade him.
Scott Petrak joining us, brownzone.com. Make sure you're reading brownzone.com and get all of Scott's coverage on free agency and everything else here, Myles Garrett, everything going on. I wonder this. I wonder, you know, did the Browns send him this message? Because this one would be intriguing to me if I was Miles. Hey, we're going to take either Cam Ward or Abdul Carter. So if you know, we're going to get your quarterback, or we're going to get you a running mate on the defensive line, something like that. That might be more appealing than another quarterback or something like that.
Yeah, that's certainly possible. And I do think all those situations and potential scenarios have become a little bit clearer since the exit meeting in January and since even the Super Bowl. You can start to see, okay, it could be this group of players that the Browns get, whether it's two or a combination of 2 and 33, or you're throwing a veteran quarterback, and I think that crystallizes a little bit. I also think if you're Myles Garrett, and maybe you're just in a better frame of mind right now than you were when he was on Radio Row at the Super Bowl, and he can say, okay, Joe Bitonio came back, and they have 11 draft picks, and I'm looking at what they can do in the draft, and maybe just feels more optimistic than he did then, combined with the realization they're probably not going to trade him. Like, he always wanted to win a championship here, so I don't think it was this huge shift there in his head. I just think he'd become so frustrated by 3-14, by the drop from 11 wins to 3 wins last year, and felt it was just not headed in the right direction. Maybe he got some bad advice about, hey, we can force a trade here and go to a team that can win a Super Bowl next year, and when all that doesn't seem to happen right away like he thought it would, then it's okay, take a step back. Okay, maybe this team can win 10 games next year, and then it's 1 year away from the Super Bowl, or whatever those, you know, whatever the Browns are thinking, right? That's what Andrew Berry's thinking, is that they can contend next year. Maybe Miles just needed some time to get that through his head or to come to grips with that.
All right, Scott, tell me if I'm wrong, or tell me if you're thinking in the same wavelength. Ready? That Jimmy Haslam learned a lesson from the Deshaun Watson decision, the Baker Mayfield decisions that happened, and it directly affected what happened on this, the way they approached the whole subject. Tell me that they've learned from the mistakes of the past.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I don't, like, what's the parallel between Miles and Deshaun here? Like Miles had proven himself here. You know, Deshaun Watson was kind of an unknown, at least to the organization. I don't know if that's where the Haslams or the organization learned its lesson. Or their lesson.
I think it's more on Baker, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see that some. I also see, I do think the Haslams, just in general, have taken a step back from how forward they were, and maybe how intrusive might be too strong, but how involved they were early on in decision making. And if you want to point to even the Johnny Manziel draft pick.
Yeah.
And they've taken a step back. They let their football guys make these decisions. I think it was smart for Jimmy Haslam not to sit with Myles Garrett, because who knows, maybe Miles convinces him that, oh yeah, you should grant this, and then that goes against everything Andrew Berry said, and the Browns wouldn't be where they are right now with Myles Garrett in tow, which, if you're not going to go through a rebuild, which they don't want to do, which I don't think they need to do, then keeping Myles Garrett is the right move. Like, I don't think there's any doubt about that. So I do think there was a lesson learned there. I also think this is where Andrew Berry excels. And people can criticize his draft picks all they want, and rightfully so. And he needs to get that fixed this year, because this is a huge draft for him, and the talent evaluation needs to be better. But he's good at the type of situations that played out with Miles. And I know they weren't on the same level, but David Njoku, Kareem Hunt, both asked for trades. He said no. They both stuck around. Things worked out with both those guys. Same thing happened with Myles Garrett. I think Andrew Berry's good at keeping relationships healthy, even when there's conflict, and keeping lines of communication open. And it paid off big in this is a signature move of the offseason, and I do think Andrew Berry deserves credit for that.
They just needed a Kyle Shanahan PowerPoint presentation to go in. Then we would have trouble. Yeah.
Scott Petrak joining us, BrownsZone.com, Chronicle Telegram. Is there an area today, even if the Browns don't make a big splash, where you think, okay, this is where they might need to punch it up in free agency more so than the draft?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I'm looking at safety, and what's interesting is Andrew Berry's 0 for 2 on the free agent market at safety.
Sure is.
Jane Johnson III and Juan Thornhill. But I think there's candidates out there, whether it's Justin Reed or Justin Simmons, guys who've been around, guys have really successful careers. I don't think they're going to be crazy expensive. And I like the idea of sliding in a veteran next to Grant Delpit as opposed to having to force in a rookie. I think safeties can be tough in the draft. You have, I think, more pressing needs in the draft. So I like the idea of safety. Maybe even a linebacker, Dre Greenlaw. You know, he's coming off that Achilles in the Super Bowl after the 2023 season. He played a little bit last year. I would think you could get him on a cheap one-year deal. You don't know if JOK is going to be healthy and able to play this year. So I like kind of finding some veteran guys on the defensive side of the ball. Maybe some help there, too, that can step in defense, help Jim Schwartz's unit, and then you can go to the draft and spend a lot of resources on whether it's quarterback, tight end, running back, offensive line. And I could see them maybe targeting an offensive lineman in free agency, but it's just such a small group of big-time players that I don't know if it fits there in free agency, especially tackle. Mm.
Is there a quarterback you want them to grab in free agency or trade?
Yeah. Kirk Cousins makes sense to me, only if the Falcons cut him. And I keep assuming that they will and not going to keep him under contract when he's going to be a backup. And I just don't think that's a tenable situation. So Kirk Cousins makes sense. I also like the idea of Russell Wilson. I don't know what kind of money Russell Wilson is going to command on the open market if he doesn't stick in Pittsburgh, but now we hear Pittsburgh has interest in Aaron Rodgers. You know, Russell Wilson to the Raiders and Pete Carroll made sense until the Raiders trade for Geno Smith.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think Russell Wilson can come in here and win games. He took the Steelers to the playoffs a year ago. I'd be fine with either of those guys right now to be your day one starter, week one starter next season. Now, then you got to figure out how does that pair with the number two pick. So I think it's a delicate balance. I think we're going to know. I think we're going to have a good idea who the Browns are going to take at number two, depending on who they sign the quarterback in free agency. Because Russell Wilson, I mean, I guess you could convince me Russell Wilson and Cam Ward, but do you sit Cam Ward? You know, so if it winds up being, let's call it Joe Flacco, Jacoby Brissett, then you take Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. But if it's a Russell Wilson or Kirk Cousins, then I think it gets a little cloudier, and maybe you take Abdul Carter too and wait to take to draft a quarterback till, you know, the second or third round.
I think that's absolutely right on the money. I do. I think that's exactly right.
And I don't know what scenario I like better. I kind of like the idea of drafting that guy at number two, but if you told me Russell Wilson's going to go win 10 games for you and you also have Will Howard, you know, that scenario sounds pretty good too.
Right.
All right, Scott, go to work. We all got work to do here in 44 minutes. So, you ready to roll?
I think so.
We'll be following along. As long as X is working, we'll be following you along here too as well. So,
thanks, Scott.
I had to do a refresher on Blue Sky this morning. All right, thanks, guys.
All right, we'll see you on Threads. Later, bud.
All right.
Peace. Scott Petrak, you know him, love him, Chronicle Telegram, BrownsZone.com. He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. Again, we are getting set for free agency. Here we go. Tampering starts in 37 minutes. Can't wait to get there. Let's see what the Browns do. Although I think, Jeff, and after talking to Scott Petrak, right, we both kind of feel like it's not.
No, you feel that way. I think they're going to do something.
I don't know. I'm not feeling it.
I think they're doing something.
Not feeling it at all, my friend.
No, good. I am.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope they do something.
Of course, it could be gas.
Well, so Scott had some other things he wanted to say, too. So we were listening, and I'm trying to remember. The first thing he said was just talking about the Myles Garrett situation.
I think the Browns are always willing to give that to Myles Garrett. And I do believe him when he said it was not about the money. It was about winning a Super Bowl. And if they had traded him, he would have gotten a giant extension somewhere else. If they kept him, he would have gotten a giant extension here like he did yesterday. So I think what changed is Myles Garrett and his people realized the Browns weren't going to cave. They weren't going to buckle, and they weren't going to trade him.
I'm hoping that the other part of this, too, is that the Browns felt like they could open up some more cash lines if they wanted to bring somebody else in a free agency to give themselves a little bit more flexibility, because, you know, we don't know how the contract is actually structured other than the guaranteed money that we heard about. So I wonder how much of the actual contract itself is going to, you know, did they kick part of his contract down the road to give themselves some more money for this year? I know we always say if they really want somebody, they're going to figure out a way to get it done. But I also wonder if that's what the importance of getting this done now was. And was it more important to Miles to get it done this weekend, or was it more important for the team to get it done this weekend?
I'd say the team kind of puts everything in its proper place as you head into free agency and then the draft. My own thought on that.
According to Diana Rossini a little bit earlier in the weekend, it was apparently Miles told his agent to call on Friday, and they wanted it done before the opening of tampering
so that Miles can help recruit free agents. Yeah, which is great.
I hope that's true. That'd be great.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But the question you're going to ask Miles is, come on, man. You decided to go back to the Browns because you believe they suddenly can win now? What changed? If he's doing the recruiting and I'm on the other end going, you know, Cleveland maybe is a place I want to go because I know ownership will pay and, you know, this could be a good fit. And a year ago they were close, and last year they had a bad year, but they don't really have a quarterback. And Deshaun Watson is nothing the way they thought they turned out. They got a second-round pick coming up. Man, they could be good. You know,
you know what was nice to see through this whole thing? Browns didn't blink.
No.
And they didn't freak out. All they said every time it came up was, yeah, we're not trading him. That was it. And they said it like that. Yeah, we like Miles. We're not trading him. And there was no drama because the Browns didn't let it become dramatic. I think that was well played by them, Andy.
Well, and
it really was.
And Scott brought that up about the way Andrew Berry handles himself and how he's a winner on one. I know we were cautious about his draft record going into this draft, but when it comes to everything else, Andrew seems to be getting the job done.
And people can criticize his draft picks all they want, and rightfully so. And he needs to get that fixed this year because this is a huge draft for him, and the talent evaluation needs to be better. But he's good at the type of situations that played out with Miles. And I know they weren't on the same level, but David Njoku, Kareem Hunt, both asked for trades. He said no. They both stuck around. Things worked out with both those guys. Same thing happened with Myles Garrett. I think Andrew Berry's good at keeping relationships healthy, even when there's conflict, and keeping lines of communication open. And it paid off big this is a signature move of the offseason, and I do think Andrew Berry deserves credit for that.
Yeah, I agree. I the other part of this whole notion about Andrew Berry and his, you know, inability to bring in draft picks, or at least maybe it's not inability, it's the ability to make sure that they're bringing in draft picks that can help out this team long term.
When does that start?
He didn't have a first round pick for the last 3 years. So that is absolutely a part of the story. It's killing him. Now, I understand, you're right, man. You can't keep going to the third round and drafting wide receivers that can't catch a ball.
Building teams isn't just done by nailing first-round draft picks.
No, but I do think it's the signature of any general manager. Who did you bring in the first round? It's the signature pick. And he hasn't had one in 3 years because they opted to bring in Deshaun Watson. So here he gets a chance. Now, the question is how quick does whoever they pick with number two have to have an impact on the team? Because if it's quick impact, then who knows?
Might depend on what position he's playing, but it is. You got to figure, Andy, anybody at number two is going to start. Anybody.
You're saying week one? You said has to start, and I agree with you, but when?
Probably week one. That's just the way that goes.
If you're bringing in a veteran quarterback in free agency, do you expect them to have a quarterback going week one?
Well, stay tuned. I think one thing Scott said is, and I said the same thing last week, depending on who they bring in at quarterback in free agency, and I think they will. If not today, tomorrow, the next day, they'll bring in somebody. And depending on who that is, it might give you an indication of what they're thinking with that number two pick.
Let me throw this in, though.
If it's Russell Wilson, well, he's going to start. You know, I can't imagine the Browns doing to Russell Wilson or Carson Wentz, and I know I've thrown that name out numerous times, and maybe even to Daniel Jones. Can't imagine the Browns doing to one of those guys what Atlanta did to Kirk Cousins, which is sign him for a pretty good contract and then go draft somebody high. I can see the Browns signing Gardner Minshew, Joe Flacco, Jameis Winston, and drafting Cam Ward at 2, or Shedeur Sanders, and that guy becoming your quarterback.
Right, what happens if it's Kirk Cousins?
I'm not even thinking about Cousins.
I am. He's the only, and that's why I don't expect. Maybe that's another reason why. In 30 minutes,
I'm not hesitating. If I'm the Browns, waiting for Kirk Cousins, I don't think.
What if you know Kirk Cousins is going to come to you?
I don't think he's worth the wait. If you know that he's coming to you, that's a different story. Except at that point, you know, that means Kirk's agents have said, hey, he wants to come to the Browns, and when he gets released, well, that's still a big win because Atlanta says they're not doing that.
So maybe you wait a couple more weeks and then you make a trade.
He does have a no-trade clause, though.
Well, maybe. Right? You're right. Todd's in Ward 1. Hi, Todd.
Todd. Man, they blew it. They blew it. No, they didn't blink.
Wow.
No, they didn't freak out. He deserved every penny of that money and then some, but it shouldn't have been the Browns to pay him. They blew it. They needed those picks. They needed those picks, and it's going to show up early in the season that they needed those picks. Don't y'all hate that Metcalf went to the Steelers? So I have a question for you other than that.
Let me ask you a question, though. Who was offering them picks that would have been worth trading one of the best defensive players in the game?
They were coming. Nobody answered the question.
I don't know about that, Todd. Time. I don't know about that.
Okay, the answer to the question is nobody at this time, but they were coming. They were coming.
Maybe.
And that's true. Neither one of us know about it. We're speculating. You're speculating with much more experience and authority on this matter than I have. I acknowledge that. But they were coming. So I have a question for y'all. As I was listening to y'all praise the Browns' defensive line, I noticed y'all didn't mention Wright. Y'all don't think Wright improved well every year?
Yeah, but I want to see him play 16, 17, 18 games, you know, 18 in the next couple of years.
Yeah,
I want to see him out there for a full season. I do like him, and I think he's coming on, Todd, but you know, it was a shame he got hurt this year. We might, you know, already have our other defensive end if he had played the whole year.
Well, Carter Stewart, Pierce, or Williams, that's what it's got to be. I wanted them to go get an offensive line, but now they got to get one of these dudes on the defensive line. I hate that Metcalf went to the Steelers. Did I say that?
I want to make sure you're good with that. Okay, thank you. He doesn't like
too.
The fact that Metcalf went to the Steelers.
I would have given the Steelers Seattle a second round pick for him.
Let's go to.
And it would have been a better second round pick. Menigan's saying no.
You wouldn't have given him a second round pick?
He doesn't like wide receivers.
Yeah, that's what it is.
He doesn't like ones over 6 foot.
No, DK Metcalf might be one of those guys that, like, maybe I'm focused way too much on what he doesn't do well versus what he does well. Like, I wonder if that's what's happened to me over time with DK Metcalf.
The spirit.
It's like, he doesn't run a full route tree, and I know he's really fast, but he tends to get banged up from time to time. Like, I wonder, with Metcalf, if I'm like, okay,
is there a website called routetree.com that you're studying after games?
Yes, he runs a fine perception, and you should check it out.
He runs a fine route shrub. He just doesn't run the fine route tree, Andy.
Yeah, my family had, we had that same problem, but we just called it weeds. We couldn't figure out how to, you know, be...
Go ahead, Dan.
I'm sure you run a wonderful fast break on a hockey rink. I'm sure you know how to run that one perfectly. You know, guys out wide, setting up in the middle. Yeah.
You're talking about a forecheck. That's okay.
See, there you go.
There you go. So I'll get a little more educated here. I don't know. You got a 27-year-old who's 6'4". If I have a quarterback who can put the ball in the air.
And one of them had the possibility of running, like, international speed stuff at 6'4".
Yes.
quick as you get.
We've had guys who are really fast on this team.
Oak.
What we haven't had are big, strong, fast guys who actually catch the football and produce.
Again, maybe I've spent too much time hearing about what DK Metcalf doesn't do, and it's twisted my brain.
I'm just sitting here contemplating, you know, like, Jeff, do you think you're an oak? Or are you a hazel tree? Are you a silver birch? What are you? What kind of tree are you, Jeff? If you were a tree, what kind of... Perhaps you'd like to be a Buckeye tree.
No.
No? A holly tree, a Christmas tree.
Sycamores are nice.
And what kind of route would you run if you were a chestnut tree?
Go ahead, Dan, say it.
Everything I'll say, I'll just get me fired.
Yeah.
Route tree?
Yeah. You don't know what that means?
No, I just didn't expect. I just didn't expect to hear it from you, like in the middle of it. You know, the reason I don't want Metcalf for the Browns.
He doesn't run a complete route tree.
You're right. So I'm supposed to come out here like, you know, I really don't like DK Metcalf because he's against radishes, and you know, I like radishes. You know, is that what we're supposed to do here?
You know, he's not quick enough on the two-step quick pass. You know, right off the line. I don't know why we can't do that, but you know, when it comes to a post or a skinny post, man, he's my guy. He's totally my guy. I get him. 25 minutes. Yep, 25 minutes to legal tampering. If something's going on with the Browns, you're going to hear it right here. 92.3 The Fan, 216-474-0092.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Woo-hoo, man. Jimmy Watkins is going to join us at 1 o'clock from Cleveland.com. He's going to give us a big picture on what we're seeing and what we're watching here for the Browns. And for everything else, I mean, maybe we'll touch Cavs here too. What do we got? 27 minutes now until this is like...
Oh, no. Do your math again.
Oh, 17. Sorry. 17.
There you go.
17 minutes. Sorry. It's like New Year's coming. I feel like we're just watching the clock to see what happens when legal tampering. There will be, hopefully, we will hear about new Browns coming up here in, you know, 17 minutes, but we'll keep our fingers crossed. There's going to be some movement. Is there a free agent wish list for Jeff Phelps?
Yes.
Is there anybody out there? Sam Darnold? Is that where you start there?
Nope, I'm not.
Okay.
Sam's going to be too expensive. Okay. Sam's going to go somewhere.
Oh,
Dano's got something.
Yep.
Oh, no, I was just going to toss in. Jonathan Jones of CBS just sent out on, since, once again, Twitter is down. So it's up, it's down, it's left, it's right. We'll figure it out as we go. So I'm working off a blue sky here. Jonathan Jones saying on here, the legal tampering window opens in about 15 minutes. One NFL executive said to me earlier to expect free agency to, quote, last all of 13 seconds.
Wow.
What
so
usually,
we'll get a couple moves real quick and that'll be it, right?
Yeah, what usually happens is you hear a couple and then it sits. And when you hear a couple early, it's usually... I could be completely off base today. It's usually quarterback, offensive line, defensive line. Usually running backs last until about Friday, don't they? That running back market seems to last forever.
Yeah, it does.
So just I don't think it'll be nonstop or anything like that, but there will be some things happening. But I'll bet it's a little underwhelming. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we sit here and we hope for expectations and it doesn't always play out. So just so you know, Twitter, whatever, is having trouble, X. And so I'm on Threads. So I'm looking, former Adam Schefter, just reporting 4 minutes ago, former Commanders defensive tackle Jonathan Allen is visiting the Vikings per source. He's said to have a good amount of interest. Some other stuff there, the Khalil Mack story is on the rap sheet. I'm also following him on sheets. Is that right? Why? You're laughing at me. Why would I mess this up?
Threats. You're following
threads.
Him on Threats.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm on Pins and Needles.
I don't know. I was following it at a gas station there for a second. And you thought I said something bad.
Jeff's just got a cork board going with a whole bunch of names and some thread.
The good news is though,
it's awesome.
I mean,
got one of those pins. I'm moving
exactly,
it around.
Exactly, just moving the pin.
Yeah,
I'm on Threads, but I've got some kind of weird thing. Like I'm looking at people walking around in Chewbacca costumes too. So I'm very confused on some of these other. Why can't we just have it easy?
We're doing great.
You think I swore there for a second? I didn't. You had to dump me there. I didn't swear.
Half a second, did?
No, I didn't. I said. I got Threads confused with
we're
a gas
doing
station.
Great. Doing great.
Do you have anything over there? Or no, because we're standing by 14 minutes away.
No, I don't have anything.
I thought we had troubles.
Oh,
big
okay.
Troubles.
Sorry. Okay. No, we don't have anything as of right now. I'll keep you up to date. We got all the big names followed over here. We will make you sure you are covered, so keep it locked in right here. Legal tampering opens in
14 minutes.
13 minutes?
Yeah, 13, 14 minutes.
So, yeah, 13 right. Minutes. Keep it locked in here. We'll have you up to date on everything.
Roman in Canton. Hey, Roman.
Hi, Roman.
Oh, he left. What's Roman's deal, man? That's twice he was there today. He jumped us. He's like, well, I'm out of here.
Yeah,
Steve is in Rocky River. Go ahead, Steve.
Hello, Steve.
Hi, guys. Hey, Teddy and I, my wife, listen to you regularly because primarily you don't yell at us like other folks do. But I've got a take on DK Metcalf and Carson Wentz.
Go for it.
Because I've followed them both since they've been drafted from the San Francisco Bay Area. So they've both been enemies of my 49ers.
There you go.
But
good Bay Area resume. Keep
that
going.
Was good, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So DK has been, according to local media, has been a kind of a divisive force behind the scenes and on the field. I've watched him get ejected a lot from games for arguing. I've watched him run smaller route trees, so I got to support Dan on that.
Steve, you're the best. Thank you for listening to our show.
Steve, welcome to the show.
Your wife's awesome, too, for listening.
I would not welcome him to the Browns because even though he looks like Tarzan, I think he's going to play like a real angry Jane.
Steve, your dog like that, too, in the background.
Steve,
all right,
have
then.
You called us before?
Not in a long, long time.
Okay, well, you need to call more regularly because that's good stuff.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, on Carson, he, you know, when he played for the Rams, he and took him to the Super Bowl, he was a happy guy, and he was a very talented guy who also, you know, tall and all that good numbers stuff. But then when he moved on to other teams, and there's a reason I think he's been around to a bunch of other teams, because, again, he's been a super diva. He's complained a lot. Players have reported they don't like to play with him. You know, this has been on local and national media, especially with the Eagles.
You sound like Menigan.
Well, I lost count of the number of times, Jeff, that you dropped his name.
I know. Isn't it fun?
It's mainly because I thought no math was going to be required in this.
Wow. You're
Steve, locked in. You got to keep calling.
You
man.
Are now officially a friend of the show.
I mean,
good
this
job.
Is one of the best calls we've had in months.
Or in minutes.
Oh,
and maybe.
I'm honored. That's all I got.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Steve getting us ready for Arbor Day as well.
Is Carson Wentz the veteran that I would like to see them sign at quarterback? He is not.
Who is the veteran you want them to sign a quarterback?
All right.
Oh, he's
I do have one guy that I think I would take a shot at this guy.
Okay.
Daniel Jones. Followed closely by Russell Wilson. The reason I say Daniel Jones is this. I think he's better than he played in New York. And I think Kevin Stefanski might be able to get more out of him. And he's only like 27 years old. If you could bring him in and he ends up being, if you don't draft a quarterback at 2 and you get like Jalen Milroe or Jackson Dart in the second round, or you trade back the first and get him, you might be developing a little bit more and he could be here for a couple of years. Jackson Dart's 21. Maybe he needs a couple of years, you know? And Dart and Daniel Jones, both pretty mobile. Jalen Milroe as well. And maybe it just improves your overall group.
Dan, tell me if this
you
is
get,
right.
If you get Russell Wilson, yeah. If you get Aaron Rodgers, I think they're short-term guys. And I think I would rather have a guy who could be a longer-term guy as a veteran along with whoever I draft. I'm sure they're going to draft somebody in the first 2 rounds.
I mean, he's got 10 touchdowns and 13 interceptions in his last 2 seasons. I don't know.
When I'm you not say, saying when the guy's you any say, great shakes.
Yeah, but when
if
you
he
say
were,
Daniel
he wouldn't
Jones,
be available.
I agree. But all I can think about is walking down the beer aisle and seeing all these like really cool IPAs. And I'm not a big drinker, but I do notice that you know there are different kinds of beer. Or even just old favorites with Canadian logos on them and all that stuff. And then I think about Daniel Jones and
you're not allowed to talk about Canadian beer.
Yeah, I can't. Oh, am I going to get taxed more on that if I do
that? There's a tariff.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Well, maybe the exchange rate will help out with that.
Might be.
Listen, here's my point. With Daniel Jones, I just think he's generic beer. I think he's a can with just the word beer on the outside of it. That's all I see. I don't see anything more than that. Or anything else you might buy in the generic
Andy,
aisle.
Andy, you might be right. The thing of it is this. Any of the free agent quarterbacks out there, any of them, comes with a question mark. And so what question mark do you want to try to answer? That's what it is. Can Daniel Jones figure out how to throw the ball a little bit better while still maintaining terrific running ability? And can Kevin Stefanski help him? That's that question, okay? Because he didn't reach what he was supposed to in New York. He didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Carson Wentz. We've heard the same things that Steve said. Menigan says it all the time. Guy's a diva and a head case. Russell Wilson, way too nice of a guy and, you know, blah, 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 and too old. Aaron Rodgers, done. Zach Wilson, not enough ability to justify being the number 2 pick, so why would you waste, you know, signing on a guy? Every one of these free agents has a question. If he didn't, he wouldn't be a free agent right now. Sam Darnold, can he do it again? Who knows?
I'd be willing to take my chance with that compared to some of these other guys that are
out
there.
But you're not going to get Darnold.
No, I don't think you are either. 27 years old. I mean, there's a lot of things about Darnold. A great season last year.
A lot of things to like.
Yeah. But then again, does that change your – maybe you have a thought process. And maybe that's what we're about to find out in the next hour is we'll be able to figure out what the Browns are going to do with that number 2 pick based on how they – how they pick up a free agent here as it starts.
Here we go.
7 minutes away.
Come on,
seven
Andy.
Minutes, 6 minutes, and 9 seconds.
Sing it, Andy.
Stand by. When we come back, we go into legal tampering. We will find out about free agents. We are prepared. Are you?
Yes.
216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps. Legal tampering next on Baskin and Phelps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.